coming into the house of God, sometimes we find that just giving just mediocre sometimes is just okay. Just ought to do enough. But I'm here to tell us tonight that He deserves our best. Amen. Revelations chapter number 1 and verse number 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. As Brother Jason was sharing there in testimony service, I looked this scripture up. He said that he was there for a testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that the tribulation, amen, the pain and the suffering that you might go through is nothing other than just simply a testimony for Jesus Christ. Paul, amen, was stoned and left out for dead. We find the next day that he's found walking in the same gate that he was cast out dead in. Amen. And the men and women seeing the testimony of Paul, we find that Peter, amen, as he began to stand on the day of Pentecost, and proclaim with boldness, amen, under the power and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, amen, we find that it was a testimony. They gave their best. Amen. What are we bringing here tonight? Amen. I set a timer on my phone to see how long testimony service, or my watch, to see how long testimony ran. And it went for 27 minutes and 3 seconds. But I'm here to tell us that was only a handful of us that stood and testified. Amen. In the midst of testifying, we are standing, proclaiming what God has done in us, through us. Amen. That we might be able to stand, amen, on the end, the day of judgment, and be able to proclaim what God has done throughout the ages. Amen. How much are the people hearing about it tonight? Or are we simply just being satisfied, sitting on our hands? Amen. Sitting on our worship. But I'm here to tell us tonight that we are overcomers. Amen. Through our testimony. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 11 states, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who is that precious Lamb? Hallelujah. That was slain upon Mount Calvary. Amen. That perfect, that spotless sacrifice. Jesus Christ. It says that by the word of their testimony. Whose testimony? Our testimony. Amen. It's our testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. We always leave that last portion out because it sounds great and glorious that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. But I want us to look at that last portion of that scripture. And they loved not their lives unto the death. We find here John, as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. As we begin to look, amen, at the beginning of Revelations, whenever we look at verse or chapter number 12 and 11, we can actually begin to see, amen, a whole new glimpse, amen, of what John was doing. He was living a testimony in the midst, amen, of the worst places, as Brother Jason was sharing with us. But he was doing it, amen, with joy, amen, even in the midst of tribulation. He was willing to stand up and testify. How many men and women on that place, that Isle Patmos, amen, received Jesus Christ because of his testimony? Amen. Everywhere we go, we are a living, breathing testimony of either what God has done for us or what we're not doing for God. Amen. We've got to be careful, amen, and take advantage of the opportunity that we have here tonight. Amen. If you can't tell here tonight, we're going to preach about being overcomers. Amen. Here tonight, we are called to be overcomers. We're not called to be trodden underfoot. Amen. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Amen. Amen. That's supposed to begin to bring forth that goodness, that richness of flavor. Not the salt that is cast out and trodden underfoot. But instead, we're supposed to bring flavor and life, amen, around those amongst us. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like here tonight. Amen. Those of you that don't want to, that's okay. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that we've got to begin to make a decision. Amen. And realize our position in the kingdom. Amen. We are not called, amen, to be cast down. Amen. But instead, we are called to go up. So many times we get so satisfied with realizing in life we're just not going to go anywhere. But that's not what we were called for. Jesus Christ himself, amen, could have even been happy with just being a carpenter's son. Amen. But he made a decision, amen, when he was going about his life, amen, that he was no longer just going to be considered, amen, the son of a carpenter, but also the son of God. When we can begin to realize, amen, our deity, our position in this life, we are no longer just a son or daughter of this world. Amen. But we have, amen, that royal blood that flows through us, that we can stand up and proclaim, amen, the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and take our position, amen, our rightful position in having power here on this earth. You say, what are you trying to get at, Brother Lucas? Are you going for the name it, claim it? Well, Jesus Christ said we were to have power. That was for men and women to receive and to see the great wonders and works of a mighty God, that they might, amen, come to know salvation. But I'm here to tell you today, we need to see those same great works and mighty miracles here today, because you can go around this world today and you can talk to people. They don't even know who Jesus is. They've never been to church. So I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, that we are living an hour and a day and a time where we've got to begin to rise up as overcomers. Amen. Amen. With healing. Amen. With gifts. Amen. That the Spirit of God has given us, but we have left them in the closet and allowed them to get dusty. It's time that we break out the oil and begin to apply it to our lives. Amen. We find in Judges chapter number 7 and verse number 20. And the three companies blew their trumpets and brake their pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpet in their right. Amen. And the right hands and to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We find here is a man that lived in a time where they were overcome. Amen. They weren't able to have, amen, a good life, because it seems like right when things would get to the place where they felt like they might get ahead, the enemy would come in and take it from them. I'm here to tell you tonight, the reason I'm able to have a testimony, Brother Larry, is because I know what it feels like when that testimony has been taken. Amen. And when that testimony was taken, I still went ahead and stood, Brother Jason, and testified. I wasn't about to allow the devil to creep up on my back and stand, just continue to remind me, your testimony's gone. But the reason I kept standing and testifying is because I knew, amen, that I was going to have it back. I knew, amen, because of the blood of the Lamb, amen, and the word of the testimony that he had instilled in my heart, I would once again be able to stand in liberty, freedom, and power. We find that Gideon had, amen, an opposition to overcome. Anybody remember the idols that he went and tore down? Anybody care to recount the name of that idol? Find it was Baal. We find that the children of Israel had a problem in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Why is that? Testifying. The first thing to go, amen, church, whenever we start losing out and stop being an overcomer, is our testimony. We start setting on it. And the devil, if he realizes that if he can just get us to stop saying what God has done, we'll stop looking forward to what God can do. Amen. But we find that Gideon made, amen, a decision that's going to cut down the groves, take out the idols. Amen. And here in the day that we live in, we still have idols. How many will agree with me and say we've got idols in this world? And the bad thing is idols, they represent the fleshly desire. That's what Gideon was fighting. His own family was involved. I'm not going to go through the whole story here tonight, but we find that there was a problem there. But there was a young man named Gideon that made a decision. Amen. He had a visitation. Amen. Here in this past few months, past few years, here at this, amen, this church, we've had visitation after visitation, amen, of the Holy Ghost and God Himself drawing our hearts and challenging us to be overcomers. Sometimes I think we say, Lord, I want to overcome. I want to overcome on Monday. I'm going to fall on Tuesday, Wednesday. Start working on overcoming on Thursday because I got church. And then Sunday morning, get the victory. So Sunday night, I can testify that I'm an overcomer. We've been called to be an overcomer in every step in life we take. It's not God's desire or His plan for His children to do nothing but suffer. Okay, let's do a little bit of history here. Every time the children of Israel suffered, it was because they were doing something wrong. They were involved in sin. That's why we've got to make sure and keep our lives pure and clean. And that's the problem of living in a sin-sick world. We're affected by sin. There are some things that we might not do anything wrong, but we're going to be affected by it. We're affected by that for a reason, so that we can have a testimony for those that have no hope, that we can stand and say, hey, I've been this, and I would to overcome through Jesus, with Jesus Christ. We begin to bring forth and proclaim the goodness and the faithfulness of God. We find, amen, not only Gideon, but in David as he fought Goliath, that he was able to overcome. Amen. David was able to overcome. Amen. None of the other men of Israel was willing to stand up. David made this statement, is there not a cause? I tell you here tonight, is there not a cause to overcome? Is there not a cause to stand up and proclaim God's goodness? Is there not a cause to be willing to stand up for what is right? So many times we're willing to just simply lay down. We say, well, if we just lay down beside the lion, he might get used to me and won't eat me. We just lay down beside the lion, he might get used to who I am. Well, that worked for Daniel because he had the Holy Ghost that was backing him up. The God of heaven sent some angels down with the power to shut up the lion's mouth. But I'm here to tell you tonight, Sister April, if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, you can't lay down beside no lion because he's going to eat you for lunch. Right. We've got to begin to realize in order to overcome, we've got to have the power. We find that Daniel in the lion's den, he was able to have that power because he was consistent in season and out of season. The reason them men set the trap that they did is because they knew Daniel would not forsake his God. I'm going to get personal here, close to everybody's home. The devil was to set a trap for you doing what is right. Would he catch you in it tonight? The devil knew that you were such a prayer warrior. And he said, Paul cannot pray. Would he find you on your knees before an almighty God saying, Lord, I've gave my life to you. This is my testimony. This is my light. We are light. The scripture was brought out in Sunday school this morning. Light set up on a hill. A city. Got that backwards, but a city that cannot be hid. We are supposed to be that light. We find the three Hebrew children talking about being overcomers with their testimony. We find that David was willing to make his testimony when he stood out and fought Goliath. Daniel was willing to bring forth a testimony when he prayed three times a day. We find that the Hebrew children were willing to testify when they stood up and defied an evil king. They didn't just testify to that king, but they testified to the whole nation. People are watching your testimony. You think that John, when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, just testified to himself? He was in a prison, a place where other people were at. He didn't have a little hut that was made up that said, John, this is your place, no one can enter. Go there with me for a moment if you don't mind. How many's ever seen an island? Most islands are what? Small. And there's nothing on it. There's no life. There is something. It's because it ate everything else. I mean, truthfully. That's where Paul was at. Not Paul. That's where John was at. And if you're in the Spirit, what usually happens when you're in the Spirit? Anybody want to care to venture a guess? Nobody? You're usually speaking in tongues. You're praying. You're edifying. You're praising. You're worshiping Him. So, John's there in a prison with folks that could probably care less who or what God is, except for those that he's converted, which I believe he probably converted quite a few. Because we find that he was uninterrupted here. Otherwise, we would have found that it was done in different occasions. But we find it's all done at one time here. He was given the vision, a revelation. Not only was it revealed to him, but when he wrote that down, so that it could be in turn revealed to each and every one of us. What are you doing with your testimony? We find the three Hebrew children not only were willing to testify in front of a whole nation, that in the face of death, they had the threat of death out there. I want us to realize that we are in the threat of death. Not physical harm, spiritual death. If we're not really willing to testify, we're not willing to overcome, we're willing to babysit our pet sins, the Bible says that we've got to, amen, forsake, we've got to get rid of the sin that so easily besets us, that's going to keep us from running that race and claiming that trophy, amen, called heaven. If we're willing to babysit the pet sin, all of the sins in our lives have names. Whether it be pleasure, how many likes pleasurable things? There are some pleasures that are good and there are some that is evil. That the devil tells us that's good. We can find this, amen, in Genesis, amen, where Satan came to Eve and offered her the forbidden fruit. Said, if you partake of this, you'll have knowledge, you'll be as gods. He began to twist the truth. The devil likes nothing more than to twist the truth and say, it's okay to talk to her. Amen. It's okay to talk to her in that way. Nobody else is listening. It's okay to send that text message. No one else will see. It's okay to look at that page. It's okay to listen to that music. It's okay to whisper that lie. It's okay to utter that curse word. I'm here to tell us tonight that the devil just wants us to try and babysit them pet sins. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's some things I've had in my life that not necessarily were wrong or sin, but they could have very easily became sin that I had to remove. I had to evict, amen, from my premises. I had to evict from my knowledge, my mind, and my heart. Why did I do such a thing? It's because I wanted to be able to testify. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's another very, very familiar story to us. We find in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people. Say that with me here tonight. All the people. All the people. And said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Amen. There's been a time or two here in the house of God that something has come forth. And you could have heard a pin drop. We can get off on using the internet. watching YouTube clips. Sometimes we'll do that more than we'll cinch up the belt. It's going to get tight. We'll get on Pandora and we'll create a secret station that we hope no one else will see or listen to. We'll begin to have our favorite movie that we watch when no one else is looking. We'll have that certain magazine that's sitting in the desk at work that no one else will look at. We'll find a secret web page. Amen. I'm preaching to the generation that we have here. Okay, every one of these kids get on the internet. And if your parents say, well, my kid doesn't allow it, I've heard them talk about it. I heard a young man talking the other night and was upset because he didn't get to go get on the internet. 6 and 7 year old children that have no business being on the internet alone, that we give them a device and say, here, go babysit yourself. We've got to be careful, church. If we leave something unattended, the devil takes opportunity to plant a seed. You can put on YouTube, kids, say we're going to listen to this story, but before every video pops up an ad that you cannot control. Grocery store, take your child down the aisle. There's going to be something, either an individual, amen, or something on the rack that is going to try and grab the attention of your child. It's not meant for you, parent or grandparent, but it's meant for the child to try and cause them to question. Have you looked of today's age? I don't very often, but the other day I did. And Brother Larry, I was shocked that are on them that was never allowed or never even thought of whenever I was Titus's age. But yet we bring them home, them in front of all these things. How much time do we spend in testifying to them, reading the Word of God? I can remember my grandmother would begin to pull me aside when I was probably, Weston's age. Pull me aside, Brother Jason, and open up the Word of God and say, we're going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to read you some scripture. That was my entertainment. It's awful quiet in here except for a few chuckles. Elijah was in this position. Amen. We find that he was facing the same idol as Gideon. Baal, man's fleshly desire. We take our fleshly desires, place them upon the altar. But then when we leave the altar, we drag it back home with us, so that we can put on our array and be known for who we are amongst the rest of the world. Well, you know, we don't have TV, but we have internet. It's bad. Versus you. We try to clarify ourselves in saying that. But if we do not caution ourselves, and if we do not begin to place the Word of God as the most valuable content in our homes and in our churches, we will find that our fleshly good feel is beginning to grab a hold, and we're tied up with it, and we find we cut the Word of God loose. Whenever we cut the Word of God loose, we begin to set ourselves down the same path, amen, that Elisha and Elijah deal with. You know, even after Elijah left, you know Elisha had to still deal with Jezebel? Amen. I'm not going to get ahead of myself here tonight. Amen. I still got some time. Amen. Left on the clock tonight. Amen. But they answered him not a word. We find that Elijah said unto all the people, he called them up. He said, we're going to have a showdown. We're going to go up on this mount and we're going to sacrifice to whoever's God that answers by fire. We find that as they begin to make as the children of Israel begin to worship Baal, try and sacrifice, and they begin to cut themselves. There's so many times that we will go so far to protect our sin that we'll even do bodily harm to either ourselves or to our children or to our family members. And that saddens me, breaks my heart. That will paint such a pretty picture of a lie. It will cost some individuals their soul. They were literally cutting themselves and throwing themselves on the altar, hoping that their fleshly desires would be met so they could continue doing what they wanted to do. If you want to be an overcomer, church, you can't do what you want to do. Because just as Pastor was talking about David and his mighty men, whenever they went listed in the military of David, they signed away all of their rights and signed up to be whatever the king needed them to be. We find that there's a few mighty men that they heard David whisper in his bedchamber, oh, what I would do for from a well. What did those men do? They girded up sword, Brother Jason. They said, hey, we're going to go fight a host of men to just get a cup of water. A cup. Brought back to David. And what's he do? He pours it out to the Lord because he realized the sacrifice that was there. Begin to have such a desire for something and God gives it to us. We a lot of times take it and we run out the door with it. But in other times we need to take that gift and give it back to Him. That way He might bestow it upon us with a greater measure. He will return it to us pressed down, shaken together. Amen, and overflowing, which is what us Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to be overflowing, victorious Christians, not somebody that's down in the dumps because things aren't going our way, but we're excited because we know that tomorrow is coming. Hallelujah. We find that Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. This is after they had made a time of sacrificing to Baal. They started at the morning sacrifice. He gave them all day, all afternoon, until the evening sacrifice. We find that he brings them, calls them all near. He says, come near unto me, and all the people came unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, hallelujah, that was broken down. I want to take just a moment here and preach on the altar. We've got to have an altar. We've got to have a place that's sacred. That only the offerings that go on there are the offerings that go to God. So many times we just say, well, here's my 2 seconds. God, do what you can with it. I'm out the door. I tell you, He's dealt with me. Amen. In my household personally. Amen. And it's not been fun. How many likes cutting things away? It's not fun. How many's ever had a callus that's welled up on your hide and you know it's just the point where it's not just tough anymore, it's kind of sore. And you either grab it and peel it off, or you cut it off, or you wait till it's almost to fall off before you pull it off. It's not an exciting experience, is it? It's not. But it's something we've all got to do. You've never had a callus? come work with me, your brother Jason, brother Larry, or brother Robert, amen, or brother Shelton, or brother Charles up at the church for a few nights. You'll have a blister. You'll have a callus, won't you, Titus? And he had a spot on his hand where he'd been running that jackhammer. He said, my hand's sore right here. Because when we begin to work at something, it's going to cost us something, the altar. If we find that he built it up. Do you have an altar at home? Do you spend any time visiting that altar? Or is it an altar that needs rebuilt? Amen. I'm trying to hurry here. I'm going to pick up speed here in just a second. But Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob. Amen. Unto whom the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. Not only did this, and we know the list of the story, that he had them dig a ditch around it, that he had them bring water, amen, and they poured some water on it, and he said, that's not enough. I'm paraphrasing here just for the sake of time. And so they brought some more water until the wood was soaked, the sacrifice was soaked, and the ditch was full of water. Okay, let me bring something to our realization here. They were in a drought. You know how long it takes to soak ground that's in a drought? A long time. You know how much water that takes? A lot of water. And they're in a drought. You want to know where this water came from? This excites me, church. It came from the king's house. That's the only place there was any water that was left. I don't know if you guys realize that, but he made sure that he had water when the rest of the country was out of water. But that water had to come from somewhere. And it came from the king's house. Man, I'm here to tell you tonight that whenever God, when we begin to rebuild that altar, that God will make sure, amen, that the enemy, amen, of your life begins to pay for that sacrifice that's sitting there on. I don't know about you, but that excites me for the fact, amen, what the devil, amen, for evil, amen, God will mean for good. Hallelujah. We find in verse number 37 that he makes this statement. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned, their hearts back again. He didn't waste a whole day trying to get a hold of God. If there is an emergency, if there is someone that needs to receive a miracle, or someone that needs something from God, if you were called upon, could you get the fire and the power of God to fall in these short few words? If the answer is no, this is convicting me. Amen. Burning a bridge right where I'm standing here tonight. Amen. If this isn't the power that we have within us, we need to more time on the altar, at the altar, making sure it's built properly, making sure that all the fat, amen, is cut off, that there's nothing left but what God can use. Then the fire of the Lord fell, just like that. He made his statement, said, Lord, so that these people's hearts can be turned again. Many in here, I want to see a raise of hands, has lost loved ones. All right, how many know somebody that needs, amen, a touch from God or a miracle? All right, this message is for each and every one of us. Because if we don't get it, the next generation might not even have a hope of it. It's up to us to grab the gear, amen, and get determined and make some decisions to dedicate ourselves, amen, completely. So that we have that overcomer, amen, the overcoming spirit and that testimony. Amen. We find that then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones. A fire that burned up the stones. How many's ever seen a rock burn? Never have. Never have. But I'm here to tell you tonight, whenever we get dedicated enough to God, amen, our altar at home will be so consumed. Amen, there'll be nothing left but a position for us to stand in and say, Lord, you've taken this sacred place. Amen, now make me that sacred altar. God, that I might be consumed. Amen, there's nothing left, not even the stones. Amen, nothing left but the power, amen, of your spirit and the Holy Ghost. And the When all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Amen. The people have to proclaim whenever a miracle is presented where there's no other explanation. They have to proclaim that He is God. And at that moment is when the children of Israel had a change of heart. You want to see, amen, the city of Chelsea, Bonita, amen, the state of Oklahoma begin to turn upside down. It's whenever a few people, amen, the Word of God says where two or three, amen, are gathered together in His name. Amen, He will be there in their midst. There's another place where it says, if any two of you will touch anything. We all the time pray for somebody. I need healing. I need touching my bad leg. We pray for them for a few seconds. We send them the same way they came in. We find that Peter and John, they were headed to the temple to pray. Stopped by an old man that hadn't walked. Amen. They grabbed hold of his hands. Amen. Lifted him up. Strength came into them ankle bones. And he went running and leaping and praising God. Men and women's hearts and lives was changed because of what they seen. Amen. That's just a handful of miracles of what we have here in the Word of God. But I find in John that there are many other things that Jesus did that are not written because the books of the world could not contain. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, whenever we become overcomers, amen, the devil himself, the enemy of our soul, amen, and of Jesus Christ will come against you. We find that Jezebel, amen, went after Elijah. She put out a hit on him. She said, "I want his head. Your life will be mine." We find that he in turn made a statement to her and told her what would happen to her. Let me read this real quick. And Ahab, he had to be the bearer of bad news, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. How many prophets? Anybody remember how many prophets were there? 400 and some. It's over 400 of them. One man defeated them all. You know why? Because they were all stunned at what had just happened. I'm here to tell you tonight that whenever the power of God comes upon you, you are able to slay any and all enemy that comes against you. Amen. Through the power, amen, of the Word of God. Amen. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It cuts the bone asunder even to the marrow. I'm here to tell you tonight that we have a weapon, amen, of mass destruction if we're willing to use it against the enemy. So many times we use it to try and sit down and debate with other men and women, amen, of like faith on how our viewpoint is right. But if we begin to take that same energy and strength and begin to apply it to what God's full intention of it was, what kind of world would we be living in? Would famines be dissipating because we begin to pray? Amen. That rain would fall in a desert place. What would begin to happen when we begin to pray that the seeds that have been planted would raise up and bring forth, amen, fruit to those that have not? But we find that Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Question, does anybody remember Elijah dying? We find Jezebel lied. Amen. I heard somebody say this. I'm going to copy it. She prophesied. She said, "I'm going to get you by this time tomorrow." Elijah didn't die. He went up. He's still alive. She didn't get him. She didn't get him 100 years later. She ain't got him 1,000 years later. She still ain't got him. I'm here to tell you tonight that Elijah, amen, went up in a whirlwind of fire with the chariots, amen, and the horsemen of God, amen, in a setting waiting on his return where Jesus Christ tells him, "You can go ahead and go down. You and old brother Enoch can go down and have a little visitation with the place you used to live." Still not dead.
I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil, amen, has sent out a hit upon our life. And at every turn, amen, God and his angels have been there to block that fiery dart. Amen, been there, amen, to fight back the enemy when he begins to try and come against you. When he raises, amen, up and begins to try and drive us out, he raises up a standard, amen, against him that he cannot overcome. Hallelujah. I'm almost to close. Amen. I just got just a few more scriptures I just really got to share with us. Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen. Who was interceding for Elijah? We find that there was an angel that visited him, that provided for him. We find that he had a personal intercessor. I'm here to tell you tonight that you have a personal intercessor. Amen. That is in heaven. Amen. Hopefully my voice will hold out for just a few more minutes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation... excuse me. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse number 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who loved us? Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. What is more than a conqueror? More than victors? What's greater than being victorious? More than victorious. We are able to be more than conquerors. More than just a victor. Amen. Because of him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you by such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with, amen, but with the temptation also maketh a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He's not going to allow us to fall. He's going to allow us a door so that we can overcome. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, we can be more than victors. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points we're tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. He was tempted, but came forth without falling. If you have a place or a position in your life that you're tempted with, that you struggle with, I want you to grab a hold of that thing. I want you to take it to the Father. Amen. In these altars tonight, allow Him to grab a hold of it and begin to take it from you. Place it on the altar and leave it there. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Here tonight I'm fixing to close. He wants you to be overcomers. Mr. Lindsay, if you got your songs ready, go ahead and come to the piano. Amen. He's there. He wants us to be overcomers. 1 Corinthians chapter, verse number 14. I didn't read this, but I'm going to go back and read it to you real quick. It says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We place so many idols. That's the consequence. If we separate ourselves from that, we will not have any problems with anything else. But so many times we set up Baal, time and time again, our fleshly desires. Because we want what we want. I'm guilty of it. Been there, done that. Got several of the t-shirts and have burned them. You know why? Because I'm an overcomer. I don't need what the devil gave me. He gave me nothing but heartache, tears, pain, anguish and separation from God. Brother Larry Joshua, I don't want that t-shirt. I'm not even going to mail it back to him. I'm just going to burn it because I don't want him to give it to somebody else. But instead, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to testify how that I am an overcomer. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, church stand, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of thing in heaven and thing in earth and thing under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. When the devil comes up against you, amen, I'm here to tell you, amen, you have the power if you're saved. Amen. He's not coming up you personally. He's coming against Jesus Christ. You can stand in the power that God has given you. In John 14 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. You say, are you saying it's a name and claim it? I'm saying that if you've got the power of God, he can work through you in the impossible situation. And it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you're trying to do it for yourself, you won't get it. It's got to be for the glory of God. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I find that one of the commandments say you are to have no other God before me. We want to know, and I'm fixing to make an altar call. Prepare your hearts. We want to know why we ain't seeing miracles. Why we ain't seeing God do what he used to do. It's because we've got idols in our lives. It might not be something that we might think would send us straight to hell. But I'm here to tell you tonight that James said, all it takes is not doing what is right. It creates sin inside of us. And sin cannot enter then into the heaven. Prepare your hearts tonight, church. Father God, we come to you tonight. God, we want to be overcomers. Stir us, Almighty God, right here, right now. God, you know if someone here is addicted, God, to things of this world, whether it be drugs, alcohol, God, whether it be pornography, God, things, God, and vices that begin to grip our hearts and our minds that captivate us and keep us from being able, God, to enter into your presence. I pray right here, right now, you begin to grip our hearts, God, and draw us to these altars. God, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven, God, and begin to flow down upon us, God, with a fire, God, that is unquenchable, God, that will consume us, God, and be nothing left but you. God, I pray right here, right now, draw our hearts. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. I don't ever do this, but I just feel the Holy Ghost lead me in this direction. If there's anybody here